Blog Talk Radio.
What your religious beliefs are, what your political stance is, Man, be thankful for these guys and gals who are fighting overseas, regardless of believing the war or not. Be thankful for these guys and gals because it you know, they keep us free so we can make music, so we can have this radio show, so we can have a family, so we can live free, you know, from tyranny. So I just want to thank all of them, you know. And a shout-out goes to my nephew, Private Burns, Jason Burns, which he's been on our show before, Bob. Just recently got married. I don't know why, but he's a good...
Lord knows.
Lord help him. But to a beautiful young lady, he'll be a father, and he will be being deployed, I believe, in May to Afghanistan. So my thoughts and prayers are with him. And another one more thing, on a serious note, my Aunt Carol, I call her Aunt Romo, 49 years old, was just diagnosed with lung cancer. We don't know what stage it is. It's not, they're thinking between the second to the third stage. We'll know more Thursday, but she is down in Houston right now doing all the tests and, you know, just basically seeing what's going on. Bob, she's 49 years old, man. She has four children, Ashley, Jessica, Pete, and Jeremy. 49 years old, man, that's young, and she's such a great woman. You know, Aunt Carol, I love her. I've never asked for anything from you guys just to like the show. If you're not, then go somewhere else. if you have time, man, check out www.carolbrinley.weebly.com. That's www.carolbrinley.com. It's expensive, Bob, you know, for the treatments, and we want her to live, and if you can give a dollar. Hell, I don't care. Something, and all the money goes to her to help her with her treatments. So be sure to check that out, and be sure to check out BoxingTalk.com. Tonight, you know, we like I said, we have special guests tonight from the band Priscilla. Excuse me, I've got a little bit of cold, I guess. We will have Brad Slitt, the vocalist, and Dave Brooks. I believe he's the bass player, correct, Bob?
Yes, sir. They're on the air with us right now.
Okay, well, let's go ahead and bring them in. Before we go any further, we just want to thank all the listeners. And, again, Bob just gave the number. Call in. We got Priscilla. We got Brad Slitt and Dave Brooks. Man, how you guys doing tonight?
Doing good, Benny. How you doing, man?
I'm doing well, man. I'm sitting here with my 16-ounce Keystone Light, starting my first one. So by the end of the show, I'll probably be like, it's going to be all right.
Keystone
Light,
a man after my own heart, man. I like what I'm hearing there. My old manager turned me on to Keystone years ago. It's good stuff,
man.
I'm one of the few people in this world that loves beer that tastes like water. Natty Light, Keystone Light, anything like that, man. Bush Light.
Man, I'll tell you my favorite.
I love them all. They're cheap. I guess this started when I was a kid and I was too broke to be able to, you know, pay some guy walking in the store too much money to buy a six-pack of something expensive. So all I had was, you know, a couple bucks, and I'd give the guys whatever they could to come get me some illegal beer when I was underage, you know what I'm saying? But I guess that's where that started. But Keystone Light is some great stuff, man. I like it. It's really cool.
Well, day after mile, listen, you know, they got Keith Stone, the guy who does the commercials. I asked you to ask Bob, that should be me. I am a representative of these guys, I'm telling you.
Those Keith Stone commercials rule, man. Those are the shit. Yeah. Those are great commercials. They really are.
We have the Keith Stone 16-ounce cans in 18-pack, which is like, you know, it's awesome. But we're not
right.
talking about beer tonight. A little bit, I guess, but we're talking about Priscilla.
Yeah. Well, Benny, real quick, Bob said it was okay if I make fun of your accent. is that okay? Am I busting balls there?
I forgot to do this. We have a new sponsor, by the way, which I have to bring on. To all the listeners out there, this segment is brought to you by Carol's Anal War Cream. If your back hatch, you can't scratch, pull a little smear on your rear. I'm speaking for my co-host, Bob Carol, who's not just a president, but an avid user.
Wow. Burn, man. Well, Bob, you can make fun of me for looking like a chick, you know. But I'm gonna rip on your accent a little bit there. To me, it's an accent. Tim, where you're from, man, it fits right in, I'm sure. But it's just funny when you're out here in the Midwest, man. We're not used to that. But I like it, man.
It.
It's like right out of a cowboy flick or something, you know.
Oh, yeah. I appreciate that. Now, that was Priscilla. We're going on with the next guy. I'm not on the shit with you.
Right.
Now, you know what? You guys, I just, I just got turned on you guys just about, I guess about a week ago. Bob sent me, about you guys, and I got to listen. And I'm going to tell you right now, you guys rock. I mean, seriously, you really, really rock. I mean, of course, the new CD, if I'm correct, is Eight Lives Gone, which is a kick-ass song. One of my favorites is Are You High Tonight? I'm just...
High Tonight,
yeah. Cool. Thank you so much, man. That's awesome. It's always great to hear that, obviously, you know. Yeah, High Tonight's a good... one of my favorite tunes off the album, too. But, yeah, thank you very much, man. That's so cool to hear that. Never hear enough of that, for sure.
Well, you know, down here in Texas, it's usually we're singing about, you know, doing our horses and beating our ladies and drinking beer. But, so... It's refreshing to have a kick-ass band to listen to.
That's cool.
Okay.
Some friends of mine used to be from Texas. A band called Sweet Savage. They're originally from Columbus, Ohio. They moved out there years ago. They used to play a place called The Basement all the time. You familiar with them?
I'm in East Texas. Savage.
Okay.
It sounds
a
little bit familiar, but man, I have all this Keystone Light stuff. The years has really screwed my mind up on who I've seen and listened to. But,
me and you both, man. Between the beer and the dope that I've smoked, yeah, I don't have much brain left, man. I do what I can with what I've got.
You're pretty, so that's all that matters. You're really pretty, so. We got Dave here.
Right.
You on the line, Dave?
Yeah, I'm here. I was just enjoying the beer talk, man. One of my greatest achievements was I was in a Pabst commercial or a Pabst ad once. And,
I love Pabst.
I still got that framed.
Nice.
All the pro beer. That should be a show, man. Probeer.com or, you know, something like that.
That's great.
We got it going. Big Dog Beer. We'll make Big Dog Beer. That's what we got, Bob. We got to work on that, Bob. Put it up. Let's put it together. Big Dog Beer.
We'll get that.
You know, you can sit when you're drunk. You never know.
Gotcha. Because you're the only one that tasted the anal cream, so.
Bob told you guys to make fun of my accent. I got a really funny story about Bob and I doing a charity event in California. He went to bed. I stayed out. I come in about 3 in the morning, beating on the door. He wouldn't let me in. Finally, he opened the door in his damn underwear. There's chili and cheese all over the damn place. I don't know what he did or what he did with, but I had to sleep with my covers really tight. But we had a fun time. Not at a hotel, that is. I'm talking about at a charity event, but... You guys got to watch out for Bob.
Yeah. Yeah.
But,
yeah, Bob doesn't have much to say about that one.
I know you guys had to see some stuff. But for all the listeners out there, man, how did all this come about? How did Priscilla come about, right?
Actually, you know what? We've been kicking it for quite a few years now, man. It was, quite honestly, it was something I did. I started up right out of high school. And I kept the name going over the years. It became a commercial success, you know, relatively speaking. Not a vast commercial success. It's not like I'm running a corporation over here, you know. But I've achieved enough success with it that the commercial name of it can interest record companies and get us some airplay around the world and get us a lot of hits on YouTube and things like that with the underground community. So basically it's just that. It's something I've kept going in different forms over the years, but, you know, like the lineup we have now, everything we have going now is completely different than what it was years ago. But, you know, it started out as a very hardcore L.A. street glam type band, like a Sunset Strip type of thing, and it just transgressed into what it is now, which is just a sleaze rock underground band. Just kind of followed the times a little bit, you know. Who knows, 10 years from now, we'll see what the trends are. We might be a rap act, you know, for all the things that are going. But I really don't foresee that. You know, my roots have always been kind of stooped in the same thing I'm doing now. It's always been just hardcore underground rock and roll. But, you know, and it all is different entities. But so I see it just, you know, keeping on going the way it is. But basically, yeah, it's just something that I've held on to over the years. I might have been in other bands throughout the time, you know, on and off here or there, you know, joined by other bands, formed other bands, but I always kept the Priscilla name alive. And so it's just something that's I use as a commercial ploy to get my name out there and to garner me record contracts and to do that kind of thing, basically.
You know, I was reading on the FNA Records website about you guys, and it's at the very bottom, I got to say this, it says, you can check your conservative inhibitions at the door. Priscilla will do for music what Janet Jackson did for the porno industry.
Yeah, you like that? I hope we do, man, you know? Jim Jameson kind of took over the porno industry, so I like to see us doing that for the state of rock and roll. And, you know, good and sleazy, pornographic, triple X-rated kind of stuff, which is amazing because, you know, we did a show a while ago, and there's a fan of ours out of Philly, and her kids listen to our band, and they're little dudes, man, and they're listening to our band. And it's all cool. I love it, man. I dig it all. You know, they're great fans. But it's just funny because it's definitely it's R-rated material. You know, I mean, I definitely don't hold back on the F-bombs. You know, I mean, they're flowing freely between the F-bombs and the sexuality of the music. You know, hey, man. But you know, it's all cool, man. If you're good with that, if you're liberal enough to let your kids listen to it, I love it. You know, I love the attitude. I mean, that would be me, you know, because I tend not to hold back on things, but I'm surprised that there's other people that are like-minded out there that are willing to do that. But, man, I like to kick rock and roll in the ass like Jenna Jameson kicked porno in the ass, you know, or fucked it in the ass or whatever,
yeah,
you know.
That was funny. That was our metal score show that we had her call in, and they were sitting on a line talking about you and coming on and saying you guys rocked, and that was a pretty cool show.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, Bob, you know what I'm talking about. Yeah, I mean, it's,
yes, sir.
You know, funny little side note to that, man. Just the fact that you know she has, her son's listening to her, and that's awesome, man. You know, but it's funny.
You know, the funny thing is, I have a 9-year-old daughter and a 13-year-old son, and in his bedroom, man, he has Motley Crue, Iron Maiden, Ozzy, you know, posters up from, and they were the posters when I was a kid, you know, the original ones my brother had, and he listens to a lot of music, and I showed him last night, I said, hey, dude, check this out, man, I'm going to have this band on tomorrow, because he loves music, and he looked at, the album cover, and he's like, man, who is that hot chick, and I'm like,
well, thank you. I've been told that quite often.
that's what I said.
Don't make fun of my voice. So I wish, you know, it's right. All good. It's all good.
No, that's fine, dude. I dig it. That's what you said to who, Dave?
That's what I said the first time I seen Shot at the Devil cover. I remember my buddy was like wanting to fuck Vince Neil pretty bad.
Oh yeah, definitely, man. They were the best looking chicks around, and they weren't chicks, you know.
Yeah.
I always dug that though. I always dug that androgynous kind of look. You know, I just think it's badass. It's just cool. You know, I mean, there's bands that you know that there's always going to be a band that does that. I'm trying to think. Well, Pat Briggs, one of my dudes, man, he's very androgynous. Sings for a band called Psychotica. But there's guys through the ages that have been doing it. I mean, since Bowie kind of started that whole glam trend, that androgynous kind of a glam thing, whatever. But I've always been a big fan of it. I mean, you got bands like Angel, you know, way back when they ruled that look, and I mean the '80s took it over. But there was a lot of fugly dudes that were trying to look walk the walk. They weren't talking the talk. They tried putting the makeup on, and God knows, Dave, you know some of the cats I know, man. It's like, you guys should not be glamming it up, man, because you look like freaking Herman Munster, you know. It's just, it ain't working for you, man. But, yeah, you could do it, man. I've always been a fan of that, you know, just always. And I was just talking to someone over the weekend about Black Veil Brides' new band. They're, you know, I really, not a huge fan of their sound. They're very emo, screamo sounding. But they got a cool look. They got the Shout at the Devil look going on. And Dave, I know me and you were talking about that too over the weekend, because we're just talking about some looks that we're going to go with when we start playing out here, and that was one of the bands that kept coming up because they're real big with the kids right now. But it's definitely all it is. It's a throwback Shout at the Devil look, and those guys are huge, huge Shout at the Devil era Motley Crue fans. In fact, the singer Andy Six, he used to write to me online all the time. He was a Priscilla fan, and he's a Nikki Six looking kid. And I remember at the time telling him, writing back, saying, dude, you know, that's cool. I dig the look, but really, Andy Six, dude? It's like, what do you say about originality when it comes to ripping off your idol's last name, you know? You know what I'm saying? It's like comfort. I'm a little more clever, but no, I'm totally digging that look. You know, there's bands like that that they mix, they sleaze it up and they dirty it up and they put the latex, the wet latex on, but they have a throwback look. And you can even go with a band like shit. There's a lot of bands around nowadays that are doing that kind of a thing, and they're just glam sleazing it. They're doing a hybrid of the look. And I like it, man. I'm a big fan. Cyclone 9, that was the band I was just trying to think of. You know, totally different sound of music. But basically, you know what it is, man? It's like if you take a bunch of glamsters and you roll them around in the alley and you roll them through a pile of grease and there you have it, man. It's basically the same thing, man. It's the same kind of look, but it's really dirtied up. And I dig it, man. I'm a fan. I'm a fan of that kind of thing.
I'm glad
your son's got the hots for me, though. That's cool.
I have a confession to make. I used to masturbate to Poison's "What the Cat Dragged In" on the album until I figured out that Michaels was a guy. So.
Holy shit, dude. I wouldn't cop to that. That's not something I used to do, really. I have heard stories like that before, though. I have heard stories like that before about people doing that, knowing that those guys were dudes. But, yeah, they were pretty, especially Bret Michaels, boy. He was pretty on the cover of that first album.
I was in prison. I made my bitch, I'm telling you. But
right.
Hey, my mind just went blank. I'm sorry, guys. Can you how about you, Dave? How did you and you come across Brad? How did you guys come together?
We've known each other for years. We've been in bands playing, I'm sure, shows together for years and years and years. And then when I moved back from Vegas, I got the opportunity to play with them again. They needed a bass player. But, yeah, I've known him for forever. Yeah, I mean, we've hung out in Vegas.
We ran in the same circles, played in the same clubs, same venues, stuff like that, bands that were, playing on the same bill, that kind of thing. And I just always kind of dug, Dave's a talented guy. He's just a cool guy. We're like-minded people. And, it just kind of worked out really good. At the time, we needed a bass player, and Dave said, I talked to him earlier, actually, about his band opening up a gig for us. And at the time, he told me, if you guys ever need a bass player, definitely keep me in mind. So it was like probably about a month or two later, I said, hey, Dave, remember when you asked me, when you told me if you ever need a bass player? I said, well, I'm asking you to play bass for us now. So it kind of went down like that. The rest is history.
All right.
How's that? How's that for an explanation?
That's it. Yeah.
That's good. Looks like we must have lost Benny. The phone booth must have went down in the town he's in. Guys, talk about last time we were on, we were talking about the albums and getting together the album. When you guys went in a direction for 8 Lives Gone, and I know you and I, Brad, had talked about the album being kind of personal for you. Tell us about the writing of the album.
Okay, as far as it's very autobiographical. It's it comes from a very down time in my life, which is kind of still going on. Clinically. I say I'm a depressed person, I guess. Sounds crazy. Sounds weird. I don't know, I guess I have a family history.
Half America is leaving.
Not to get too deep or too, philosophical on it or whatever. But, I bout to them, my whole family. And I've had a lot of suicides around me in the last few years. Relatives have died from heroin overdoses. Just a lot of depth. I mean, I've had 3 cousins all under the age of 21 that have died in my family just in the last 4 years. So it's been very, very traumatic personal times in my life. But between that and just personal strife going on and things like that, it's really put me in a blackened mood, I guess. And just the things I've seen around me, and as me and Dave were talking earlier just today, I can't believe the number of assholes that I know, just people that I know that I thought were close to me, people that I considered friends or whatever. And I could get really deep on this with you if I wanted to. But it's like, it's just amazing the amount of people that shit on you from day to day, you know, that just expect something from you. They use you for one thing or another, whether it's just for a good time for the moment, whether it's to get you to the next, their next position in life, whatever it is. But people just trounce on you and people walk on you and they just have no respect for others. And it's such a self-preservation type of attitude with all these people, and just everything, the state of the world, you know, the news that I see around me. And I really started following, you know, politics deeply for a while, and so it just got me too freaking depressed to keep following it, you know. So I kind of just had a media blackout on that, because it was just I had enough problems of my own to keep following that. But basically, 8 Lives Gone stemmed from all that, from a very dark period, very dark decade in my life, basically, I guess is what you can say. You put that all together and you get inside someone's mind that's pretty dark at this point, and you throw it all up and you just blow it out of your head, and there's what you got is 8 Lives Gone covering a canvas. So that's pretty much what it is, and particularly that song in general is very autobiographical in that nature, in that way. But that's pretty much what it is. I mean, it's, if you listen, there are very angry lyrics on something like Generation Exploitation, or, you know, Eight Lives Gone, or, you know, Fade Away, Lord of the Flies particularly too. It's not a happy place. I mean, that's immediately obvious. You know, you're not gonna be freaking hearing you know, Poison's Talk Dirty to Me or something coming out of it, if you think it's that kind of a glam band or whatever, you know. It's
right.
It's dark and dirty, and it's back alley gutter type shit, you know. So,
I got you.
Yeah, that answers your question.
And Benny is back with us. Yeah, he's back on the phone with us.
I miss Benny's voice, man. I really did.
Sorry about that, Dad. I spilled my beer.
Welcome back, Benny.
Thank you, Dave. I love you guys so much. I'm going to drink a beer for you guys. We have a caller on the line. Apparently, I can't believe it. We have a caller. We never have callers. You guys are great. We have Michelle from Arizona on. How about it, Michelle?
Hey, how are you guys doing?
Good, man. What's
doing
up,
great.
Michelle?
You're on.
Hi,
good. How are you doing? Yeah.
What's up, man?
Hey there.
Not much.
What's up, man?
The sky
is up.
Yeah.
That sounds like one of my lines, man. Were you calling from Arizona? You calling from Arizona?
Yep.
How's the weather in Arizona?
It was actually very nice today. I live in the mountains.
Oh, sweet.
Yeah.
So Michelle, what's going on, Michelle?
Nothing much. Hey, I was listening. Well, when Brad was talking about that, did you guys hear about Mike Starr?
No.
From Alice in Chains?
From Alice in Chains?
Yeah.
No.
He passed away.
Oh, did he really?
Yeah.
Just today?
Well, it's on VH1.
Oh, really?
Oh, okay. Boy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, wow, that band was cursed between him and Lane Staley.
And I watched
I
watched him on that Celebrity Rehab 3, and he did seem kind of depressed and stuff, and I was hoping he'd come out of it, but I guess he didn't.
Well, maybe I'll join that club.
Yeah.
Maybe I'll party it up with Mike.
What did he do? Overdose?
They're not saying. They said right now the cause is unknown.
Yeah. I didn't know he was on that Celebrity Rehab with Dr. Drew.
Yeah, he was on last season. Yep.
Oh, I didn't know that.
And then he actually did make it to Sober House, but then from there it's saying here something about something about feeling guilty about his friend, that bandmate of his, Stanley.
Wayne, yeah.
Passing away.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, he died a couple years back, you know, of an overdose. And,
what, 6-7 years since they lost him, I believe.
Yeah.
Overdose, was it?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
It's something about that Seattle scene, man, you know, between the guys in Alice in Chains and Mother Love Bone and shit, even Jimi Hendrix years ago, you know. It's like, I think it's that bad Seattle rainy weather that fucking puts everyone in a fog and makes everyone shoot up, you know. Something.
Well, yeah, you never have any sunlight.
You're right, exactly, man. Medical
I've
fact,
been,
man.
I've been deeply depressed in my life, but I've never wanted to put a needle in my eye. Oh, hell with that.
Right.
And
yeah.
I forgot to say hi to Benny. Hi, Benny.
How you doing, man? How you doing?
I'm doing good.
We appreciate you calling in.
Yeah, Didn't Mike Starr play with Ozzy for a while? Am I wrong on that?
Who, Mike Starr?
Yeah, didn't he play with Ozzy for a while? No.
I don't think he did. I know he was in. I know he was in Alice in Chains, and just after he was real good friends. He was there actually when Lane, overdosed.
Right.
And it apparently deeply affected him. But you know, he may have played with Ozzy. I mean, I'm not sure.
Either that, or he had auditioned for Metallica or something. There's
yes,
another
he did,
band.
Yes.
That,
yes. He did audition for Metallica to replace.
Okay, maybe that's what I'm thinking.
Yes.
I was
looking
it
up real quick.
Yeah.
Excuse me?
I'm good about looking stuff up on that wiki up.
Yeah.
Encyclopedia thing, and I can usually find a lot of stuff out about you guys.
Cool.
Find out all your dirt. Oh.
Nice.
There you go. All right.
Believe it or not.
All right, Michelle.
Huh?
Everybody does, man. That's why Motley Crue wrote the book before anyone else could get that shit out there on them.
There you go.
What's that?
Have you read that book, by the way?
Oh, yeah, man. That's a great book.
Really?
I think it's very fictionalized, you know. I mean, it's their interpretation of the truth, but it's a great book. You know, just like Heroin Diaries, great book, but it's, you know, highly sensationalized, but it is a great book.
We have a guest, another caller in by the name of Rob Johnson. He's supposed to be a good friend of Brad's. He's on the line. How about it, Rob? How you doing, brother?
Rob Johnson?
Rob, you there?
Here. Hello.
What's up, Rod?
Good.
Yeah, this is Rob Johnson. How you doing?
Doing good, man. How you doing, Rod?
Pretty good. All I got to say is keep doing that. That was bigger than a can. Does it make you burp or fart?
Keep what?
Keep still nice. Pop a beer in a can, doesn't make you burp or fart.
That's true. Don't they say it has like a plastic lining or something that's supposed to keep you from getting gassy or something?
I guess so, but I know I partied with Brad Slip many a time and he burped and farted a lot.
No, man. I am not a gassy dude. Burping, yeah. But,
well, it all depends on how big the beer bong is.
Yeah. I think Rod Johnson's the master of the French horn there.
Yeah.
you going to attest to that, Rod? Give us a blast of the French horn.
I'm a French horn master.
You are a French horn master. Dude, wait, Rod, have you ever heard me pass gas in my life? I don't think so, man. Not this cat.
Well, after a couple of bongs with a 151 Bacardi top, you're playing the French horn.
With the 151 retarded what?
You do the... Well, when you do play your French horn, it's with the beer bong with the 151 float on the top. You're singing it.
I can't really follow that. 151 on the top. All right.
Yeah. You do the beer bong.
I think we have a caller been drinking.
151
wow.
On top, and you're playing the French horn.
All right. Sweet.
So, nonetheless, I'm down here in Miami, Florida, and many people are waiting for your tour. When are you coming down here to play with us?
Hopefully soon. We'll pass that question on to Dave. Dave, when will we be down there in Southern Florida to play?
Is big with you guys down here. They play on the radio every so often when I request it. And they got a lot of fans down here. A guy named John Blomstrom is always pushing for you guys down here.
Blomstrom is?
John Blomstrom.
Right, we booked with him years ago. Wasn't he the guy that ran, Born to Run?
He ran the Button South. He ran the Button South.
Right. Yeah,
which is in Agora. It's one of the biggest rock clubs in the country.
Right. It Button's not around anymore, though. That's where, you know, Marilyn Manson got his start. There's a lot of good bands that came out of there.
Exactly. The first time I saw Marilyn Manson was with Brad.
Right.
Me and Brad go way back.
Right. Yeah. Yeah,
in
back
fact,
in the old days, me and Manson. I was ready to duke it out with Marilyn Manson back in a bar called the Button
South.
Oh,
yeah, I remember. You wanted to duke his ass because it was so weird.
Yeah.
He looked like the guy used to dress like Ted in a hat.
Wait, what's that? What's that, Bob?
The guy used to dress like Ted in a hat.
I can't. Nick, wait, do that. Wait. Bob, go ahead. What'd you say about Manson?
He used to dress like the cat in the hat.
God! All right, here, I'll tell the story, man. I walked into a bar because Rod Johnson obviously ain't shutting up. So I went to a bar called the Button South, big rock club in Miami, and Manson was hanging out there. Well, he came walking in, actually, after me and my buddies. They were in a band called Trix, T-R-Y-X, big glam band that was originally from Florida that transplanted to L.A., the guy's the long black hair with the big tufts of colored hair coming out of it. Each guy had a different color, as in the Trick cereal color, which is, a good idea for the glam days back then. But we're all hanging out, all glammed out, looking like chicks. And in walks Marilyn with a lunchbox, and he trolls up to the bar, sets his little toy soldiers around him that he pulls out of his lunchbox. He's got a bunch of little plastic toy soldiers. And he's got the Dr. Seuss shorts on with the pinstripe stockings on underneath and, full makeup and whatever, looking like Marilyn did back in those days in the early, portrait days. And I was stoned. I was drunk. I told my friends, who is this homo, man? What the hell is up with this dude? But, I was really put off because he had such a weird look going on, and he had a weird aura about him. But then we got to talk, and my buddies introduced us, and they said, well, he's from Cleveland, too, which turns out he's from Canton, not Cleveland directly. Canton, which is, south of Cleveland. It's about an hour away from here. But nonetheless, we ended up hitting it off, and he was all cool. He's a millionaire now, and I'm not, so it's all good. But it's weird how things like that start out, with a guy like that. It's like, because I follow his career ever since. I watched him, work his way up, and then Trent Reznor, also from Cleveland, he did an interview with them down there and ended up signing them to his label, and that was how he got his start, because he hit it off with Trent, and Trent liked his ideas, and that was it, man. And, I mean, if you listen to his early demos, boy, that was – he was going nowhere with what he had going on. It's amazing. I'm happy for him. I'm a huge fan of his, but it's amazing that started off the way he did and ended up the way he did, because it was really weak what he was starting out with.
Yeah, with his sound, he sort of like you said, he sort of what he started off with, he sort of reinvented himself, with his sound and his not so much his look. I guess his look a little bit. Every single time he comes out with something different. But one of the bands that kind of stays true, and I know you're a fan of this band, the Murder Dolls. They're a band that's kind of stuck to their, even though they kind of got that look, they kind of stuck to their guns and their sound. Wednesday 19, sticking to his sound.
Absolutely. Wednesday's a huge horror film fan. I mean, his roots are like a lot like mine. We're in a lot of the same old cult horror movie, like 1970s era, drive-in era horror films and that kind of thing. And
yes.
Yeah, I love that kind of
all
thing,
that.
Yeah. I mean, Wednesday's way all about that. And all his bands, he's been in the Frankenstein Drag Queens from Planet 13 and his band before it, what the hell, I'm stumped now for a second, man. It doesn't happen to me. But, all his bands, man, Murder Dolls, Wednesday 13, his solo project, everything, they're all stooped in that whole, that horror genre of sleaze rock, glam rock, gutter punk, horror punk, whatever label you want to put on that. But yeah, that guy's true to what he's doing, man. He's not going to change too much. I mean, he chopped his hair for when he did the Gunfire 76 band. It was the same sound. I don't know if you're familiar with that band at all, which,
no.
They put out a really good album. I think he was using I'm surprised he didn't get sued by the estate of Elvis Presley he took Love Me Tender and turned it into his own song. That was a cool song. He kind of used like Alice Cooper type lyrics, which is a huge Alice Cooper fan. I know me and you talked about that before, Bob.
Yeah,
exactly. He sounded like Alice Cooper, and then Wednesday,
absolutely,
at times sounds like Alice too, and he's a huge Cooper fan, and he'll take some Cooper riffs, he'll take some Bowie riffs, but the whole Gunfire 76 album, he used Panic in Detroit, David Bowie tune, he used some Cooper riffs, he used a Cheap Trick riff. I mean, you could take the riffs and say, wow, this song is this song by this band, but he made a great album out of it, But
sure,
it didn't sell, and it didn't work obviously because he abandoned that project real quick. He was gung-ho on it. And I'm a fan of anything the guy does, really. But, you know, he started that project, and then he abandoned the project as quick as he started it, you know. But, getting back to the original thing, yeah, Murder Dolls, very cool band, man. I totally dig their thing that they got going on, too. That's another one of those bands that I was, you know, when I was talking earlier about Black Veil Brides and Cyclone 9 and stuff like that,
sure.
You know. Murder Dolls is another throwback look band that basically it's a dirty, scummy glam look, you know. It's glam out of the gutter, hardcore out of the gutter, you know. Throwing some horror film type, exploitational type influences, and there's what you got, you know. And I dig that, man. Huge fan of that kind of thing.
You know, you brought up Elvis Presley, there was a conversation a little while ago. We have Dave on the line with us. Dave, I had no clue that Elvis Presley was born in Roman.
Yeah, he's Roman. You know,
can you hear me?
Yeah,
can you hear me?
Yep.
Oh, okay.
Sure can.
Yeah, could you believe that? If anybody goes to my Facebook page, I'll leave that up forever. In fact, I'll repost it up towards the top tonight because I've never been so overwhelmed by a conversation or confused. And I got a 4-year-old, you know. I just don't get it.
And his 4-year-old, ironically, is named after Elvis Presley, too.
Yeah, her
there
name is Presley, yeah.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
There you go. There you go.
I know exactly what you guys are talking about, and that is,
exactly.
That
yeah,
is
we,
amazing.
We, I talked
oh,
to
man.
Him shortly afterwards, and he's like, yeah, he's like, Brad called me. He's like, what the hell's going on here?
Oh, man, I couldn't have.
Jesus Christ.
I could not believe that, man.
Maybe I better slow it down. I can't even remember how it started, but it was like, I don't remember. I don't even know what I was trying to say. I forgot now.
All you want to do is get a song played. And,
oh, that's right. Yeah, I was right. Yeah, yeah, let's bring it back to the basics. Just play Priscilla. Forget it.
Yeah.
Yeah. So do you
that
think that worked? Did the chick end up playing some Priscilla on Hard Rock Radio or no?
I think it's supposed to be on the 10th. On the 10th?
Okay.
10th? Yeah, which I think tomorrow,
so.
Right? Or yeah.
I think it's on Monday night for some reason, I'm thinking.
Okay.
But I have no clue. I mean, I just that was one of the best things I'd seen on Facebook.
Yeah, that's what it was because I was trying to, you know, she was saying, I don't know if Priscilla's a little bit too raunchy, and I'm like, well,
right.
Rock and roll's been raunchy since Elvis Presley, and she was like, well, I wasn't alive then, you know, and I was like. Well, I wasn't alive in Roman days, but I know what happened. And that's when she went and said, well, I didn't know Elvis was in a Roman.
That was
hell
great.
Yeah, yes.
we have, is this Janie?
What? Yes.
Hey, Janie, we have Janie from Philadelphia on the line with us.
Hi, guys.
What's going on, Janie?
I'm talking to Brad Quitt and Dave Brooks. Give me 1 second. I just
okay.
wanted to say hi to my favorite fan from Cleveland, Ohio.
Awesome, man. Awesome. We were just talking about your kid.
Wait, and I just heard Dave. I didn't know David had a 4-year-old daughter named Presley. I love that name.
Yeah, it's a cool
yeah.
name, isn't it?
Awesome.
Yep.
And she has her father's talent, too. She's a talented little musician.
Yeah, wow. She surpasses me. I mean, she can stay in key the whole time and everything.
My boys are pretty musical, too. We got to get them all together if we ever get together.
Yeah, they can start a little kids group, man.
I'm going to actually enroll them in the School of Rock in September.
That would be cool,
man.
I know.
You have to be 5.
Yeah, yeah, they're doing those things all over. Cleveland's got, I guess, every city, every town's got those things going on now. But not a bad idea, man, you know, especially if they're into that. Oh, man, I'd be all about that. You know, if I had kids, man, I'd definitely be enrolling them in something like that.
You'll have them someday, bro.
Maybe. I think I got some illegitimate ones, but not really. We're not going to go there.
I've got to ask you, what is your favorite horror movie since you were talking about horror?
Man, my favorite horror movie. That's a real good question and a real tough question. The Evil Dead, the original, well, there's only one Evil Dead. They're supposed to be remaking that, I heard, with Ashton Kutcher. I really like that movie. I like really seedy underground stuff. Let's see. I like, you know what? I'm a huge fan of like French, the latest era of French horror films. You're probably not familiar
with
a lot
of
Mark's
stuff. I'm not. I'm like
yeah,
more
yeah,
like The Ring and Saw and stuff like that, but I love horror.
Yeah. They're The Ring and Saw are cool movies. The Japanese, they were hitting on like with all The Ring and all those movies that they were remaking that were originally Japanese movies. They had a cool style about them. Very scary stuff, man. Very scary. But then the French started stuff. There was a movie called High Tension, I think in like 2003 or something that came out, and it started like a new trend going. And man, I'll tell you what, those guys, the French. I don't know, Bob. Are you a horror film fan at all?
Oh hell yes, absolutely. So is
okay.
Benny actually. Both
what
of
about that one that they redid? Didn't the Japs redo that one with Buffy the Vampire? She was in it. What the heck was that one? It was so cool.
The Grudge.
Yeah,
The Grudge.
Wasn't that good? Yeah.
The Grudge was a good movie. It was very good. It was eerie, man. Gave me the chills. Gave me the chills big time. If a horror film could do that, that's a good
movie. There you go.
I'll tell you what, Bob. There's like three or four movies that you got to see, man, if you're a horror film fan, that you can't go wrong. They're all French. High Tension is one. Great film. They're all brutal. They're all the same. They're all very simple, and they go right for the throat, man. High Tension is great. A movie called Inside is great, which is like the Strangers ripped off a lot of the elements, which I think The Strangers is a very, very cool film too, by the way, Janie. I think that's a really cool movie. Have you seen that one?
No.
Oh, you got to see that, man, with Liv Tyler's in it, and I forgot who the guy is, but, that movie will give you a...
We were just talking about
Liv Tyler,
too. We were just talking
yes.
about her.
Right. Yeah.
I wonder if she has been in anything lately.
Oh, the Strangers is great, man. That is an eerie film, man.
I gotta check it out.
They do so much, which is like barely a soundtrack, and they just use like a piano key, like to build the tension, and it's amazing, man. But check out The Strangers. But Inside, The Strangers is like kind of based on the elements that are in this French film called Inside, which is it'll freak you out. And then a couple other movies. Frontiers is a really cool French horror film too that you really should see. But Martyrs, man, I'm gonna tell you something. Martyrs is a movie. It came out in 2008. And that movie, it starts off the first 90 minutes or 100 minutes of the movie. Within the first 2 minutes, what you see is like, oh, my God, I can't believe they just did this in a movie. This is so, you know, off the wall, outlandish. It's unheard of. And then I'm going to tell you something. The first couple minutes are like the weakest part of the movie. It's like that was nothing. It gets crazier and crazier. It's a descent into hell, man, as you're watching that movie. And that's where, you know, another, Bob, you're talking about like influences where Eli's Gone came from. A lot of that does come from horror film type influences too, you know. But Martyrs is a movie that if any fan of horror should see. I don't think necessarily everyone's going to dig it. It's not everyone's cup of tea. But, man, it's freaking out there, man. It is the most intense 90 to 100 minutes you're going to spend watching a movie in a long time.
Nice.
It's not really a horror movie, but one that was I thought that was really good, and I still watch it when it comes on. Remember this, Outlander, we have your woman.
Outlander?
You know what it is? No.
Outlander?
No, he says, Outlander, we have your woman. Children of the Corn, man.
What is it?
Children of the Corn.
Oh, Children. Okay, yeah. That is a cool flick.
I did a very bad impression of Courtney Gaines, man. I'm sorry.
No, I dig it. Yeah, that's cool. No, that is a good film, man. Malachi. Wasn't that the main kid in that movie? Yeah, he was evil, man.
Yeah.
Yep. Yeah, I interviewed, his name's Courtney Gaines. I interviewed him about a year ago. He's real cool shit, dude.
Yeah.
Jackie Chainsaw Massacre, 1974. Man, you can't beat it. I love that, man. The fact you get
that's a great film. Hell yeah, man. That is a classic movie, man. That is obviously it's a classic, man. I got all kinds of memorabilia from that movie.
You know what? I like the remake better because you got to see Jessica Biel in a really almost wet, tight, white T-shirt.
Dude, I'm going to tell you, the remake of that movie, all my friends that are horror film diehards, man, they're like the purists and stuff. They were bashing that movie as it was being made, and when it was done, they said, screw that, man. You can't do that to a classic film. It should never be remade. And I'm going to tell you something, man. After it came out, they all changed their tune. They all said that movie was fucking unbelievable. It was a great
movie.
It was, man. And another movie they did that too, the remake of Dawn of the Dead. Everyone said,
Oh, hell yes.
I'm not going to see it. I'm going to protest it. That's stupid. And then afterwards, they're singing a different tune again because that was a fucking brilliant movie. It was a hard-hitting, intense, freaking grip-you-by-the-balls type movie, you know? That's a great movie, man, the remake of Dawn of the Dead. You know, the original is cool, too, but the remake is far better, and it is, if you're honest.
Oh, I love it, man. That little girl come through the door.
Woo! Oh, yeah, man. Hell yeah. Yeah, there wasn't a thing about that movie that wasn't awesome.
Oh, I love it. I tell you, I have a very, very short wife. It was a wedding night. It was awesome.
Yeah, absolutely, man.
I think, didn't
last that long.
Hey,
we have another caller.
Okay. We have Weasel on the line from Cleveland.
Who's this, Weasel?
Yes.
Okay, cool. Yeah. Weasel.
What's up, Brad?
Weasel.
What's going on, bro? Weasel photographer, right?
Yeah.
What's up, bro?
Hey.
Sean, man.
What's up, Weasel? What's up,
David?
Dave, you know Weasel. Sean Sterba.
Yeah, dude.
Talk to him online. Yeah, how you
doing, Sean? Okay, cool. Good, dude. What's up, man? When are you guys going to come back around? I mean, it's like I'm
in May, dude. In May. Our first show back out is going to be, it's looking like, I'm talking to Chris Z over at Peabody's now. He offered me two dates. It's going to be either the 21st or the 27th is going to be the first show. And then we're doing that. That's going to be our first headline show. Back, that'll be a big show. And then right in between there, somehow we got some dates with Psychotica, which is one of my personal favorite bands. But our headlining show back out is going to be either on the 21st, which is Saturday, or the 27th, which is a Friday, Memorial Day weekend. So it's going to be either one of those dates. And I think I'm going to have a confirmation for sure. He offered me either date, and I told him, just tell me whichever one works best for you. But it's going to be, I'm going to know on Thursday, I think, so I'll announce all that stuff. But that's, and we'll be hitting it hard this summer, man, for sure. We're gearing up to do all that. So hopefully, you know, we'll see you at the shows, and everything will be cool, man. It's been crazy, man. It's been a crazy freaking downtime here, all kinds of personal drama and shit going on. But, yeah, we'll be back out there and hopefully kicking some ass, and hopefully we'll do it right this time. You know, but Sean, what is your favorite horror film, man?
I'm not sure he's still there.
Lose him?
Yeah,
when the red fern grows.
What's that?
Yeah.
When the red fern grows.
No, we lost. Hang on a second. We got things.
Hey,
got it back. You there?
Hey guys, remember the Thing? That was a good one too. You got Russell.
Which one?
The Thing with Kurt Russell back in.
Oh, yeah, that's a cool flick. That is a cool flick. Weasel, we get you back?
Yeah.
Oh, okay, cool. What's your favorite horror film, bro?
Well, I was going to talk about that murders and stuff, but it's like, holy crap, it was like Brad beat me to the punch.
Wait, talk about what?
Yeah, the murders, or martyrs, or whatever, how you want to pronounce it.
Martyrs, yeah. Have you seen that, dude?
Yeah, I was about to say that when I got off hold, but you beat me to the punch. I'm like, damn it.
Isn't that the craziest fucking movie ever?
It's like one of those crazy movies that you have to see, and you're like, why and how the hell? Why and how?
You have to see
that
movie, man. Everyone that's like a little warped in the head has to see that movie just to see how it's like. You feel like you're crazy after you. Maybe you are, but after you watch that movie, you really feel like you are, man. You take like a shower just to get clean off.
Any of you got the movie? Chiller? Channel Chiller.
No. I don't. I know what you're talking about. Yeah, some of my friends have that. I don't have that.
There was a movie that was on there. There was about this, like a psycho hospital. And, like some people were going crazy, and they went and killed this one person. All the nurses, and there was one that lived, and she fell in love with the doctor and everything, and she he pushed her away, and he goes, I can't, I love this girl and everything. And later on, and they found out and stuff, it's just like, she was killing, they killed her because she was going to blab the secret because they were selling the dead bodies to people and everything, like butcher shops and all this crazy shit, and they just, like, murdered this one girl, and it was crazy. It's some good movies on there.
Sweet. Yeah, I think I know what movie you're talking about. I've heard of that. I don't think I've seen it. But I think I know what you're talking about, yeah. Yeah, there's some good ones out there that, you know. What's that?
Another good one was 1983, The Hunger, with David Bowie.
Yeah, that is a good film. That is a good film. You know, actually, you know, another kind of cool one I saw recently, I think it's a European flick. Europe puts out all the cool shit anymore, music-wise, film-wise, but a movie called Dead Snow, I believe it was. It was like zombies out in the snow kind of a deal. That was really cool, man. That was a cool flick. Look at this, man. This should be a Halloween show, man. We gotta come on here. What's that?
We'll do one. All the Osborne and Trick or Treat, man. That was kick-ass.
Yeah, absolutely, man. Absolutely.
Gene Simmons was in it.
You know, a few months ago, we had Marcy Free. It was Mark Free at one time, of course, of King Cobra,
right, and
Unruly Child. Yeah, he was actually. I don't know if you remember the cult. It was a cult film, Black Roses.
Yeah, I've heard. Yeah. Carmen Appice was in that. You know what? The whole band was in that. Weren't they King Cobra?
He did. Mark Free at that point did the vocals, but the band itself was King Cobra up on
right,
the stage.
Right.
It was just an actor playing the vocalist for some reason. So.
Right. Yeah. How's Marcy doing these days? Actually, I'm friends with David, the old guitarist for King Cobra. His wife. She's telling me a bunch of stories about Marcy now. It used to be Mark.
That's crazy.
But hey, whatever, you know.
It's a different show, you know.
We're going to take one more caller from the night, guys. We have Charlie from Cleveland. How are you doing, Charlie? You're on Big Dog Radio with Priscilla.
Yeah, doing good. This is Charlie Spleen from Strongsville, Ohio.
Hey, Charlie Spleen, what's up?
Hey, not much. How you guys doing?
Real good.
Charlie Spleen, I like the name.
Well, yeah, I'm cool. Catching all kinds of shit now because of Charlie Sheen. Everyone makes fun of me, but on a serious note, it sucks. Everyone goes, "Winning, Charlie Sheen." Yeah, I walk through them all. Hey, winning. Like, I know it's fucking
I'm by
ridiculous.
Winning.
Yeah,
Charlie's
not
gonna get a word in edgewise. We're gonna keep ragging at him.
I know that's just like the real Charlie Sheen. But
yeah, I'm on a drug. It's called Charlie Sheen.
Yeah, well, I'm on a drug. It's called Priscilla.
Hey, so Charlie, what's up, dude? So you're getting a lot of shit because of Charlie Sheen now?
Yeah, it's ridiculous, dude. Seriously, I mean, I walk through the mall and people are like, "Hey, Charlie Spleen, Charlie Sheen, winning. It's just ridiculous, man. I mean, I don't even live in my own house anymore. But seriously, I really would like to say that these guys, seriously, what they're doing with rock is just really cool. They're bringing back, you know, theater back to the live show, and these guys live listening to their CD is one thing. They really are great songs, but to see them live really puts it all in perspective. So anyone out there that hasn't seen them live, you definitely got to go because their live show is 10 times better than the music. You know, it's what they're doing is really cool.
Well, thank you, Charlie. Thank you for saying, man. Hey, I'll tell you what. There's a theater in my pants, and you're coming, Charlie. How about that?
Oh, dude.
Guy says a bunch of nice stuff to us, and I go and say something like that. What the fuck?
Even my kids are making fun of me because of Charlie Sheen. It's rough. But hey, Dave, how you doing over there, buddy?
I'm good, man. After all this horror film talk, I got to go bust out my favorite soundtrack from the Devil's Rejects.
That was a good one. Rob Zombie knows how to put the good soundtracks down for sure, man.
Hey, Brad, Banjo Sullivan doing one at a time.
I'm at home, Bob, getting hammered, and she's getting nailed.
William Forsythe's going to be at Cinema Wasteland again. Did you hear?
Sweet.
You love him.
Rock on, William. Yeah, I'm not that big of a William Forsythe fan.
Dude, let me ask you. I know I told him
he wasn't in the new Halloween one year at Cinema Wasteland. I do remember that.
Yes.
Bob, Bob, there's this dude, there's this convention in Cleveland called Cinema Wasteland. It's a cult horror film convention I go to all the time. Like a bunch of my buddies go and stuff like that. They have it twice a year.
Right.
William Forsythe was a guest there the year that Rob Zombie's Halloween came out. So I forgot. I was blasted, man, as usual. And me and William Forsythe are hanging out talking. Like after he does his autograph thing, where we're hanging out, chilling, and you know he's pretty plastered too. And somehow we start talking about Rob Zombie's Halloween. I forgot exactly what happened, but he said, he goes, yeah, he said something about being in the new Halloween. I said, yeah, you should have been in it. And he goes, well, I am in it. I said, no, you're not. He's like, yeah, I am. He's like, I opened the movie, man. Rob Zombie opens the movie with me. I said, no, he doesn't. And someone else got in on the conversation, and they corrected me. They said, dude, he's in the movie. I'm like, oh, shit, he is in the movie, isn't he? And I'm being an asshole with William Forsythe. I mean, if I were him, I would have punched me, you know?
Yeah, Brad,
what do you think about Four Rooms?
Where I think of Four Rooms, I think it fucking blows balls, dude. It sucks a big bag of dicks, man. Go ahead, what were you saying, Bob?
No, I'm just going to say he played Mike Myers' mother's girlfriend in the
exactly,
in the
that's who he was.
Yeah,
he got killed at the beginning. Like, he got the shit kicked out, or Michael
yes,
Myers beat the shit on with a baseball bat. That was what he did.
Yep.
But, yeah, I mean, yeah, you would not have believed the conversation that took place between us. My friends were dying over it, man. they're like, only you, dude. Only you would have the balls to say that to him. I'm like, well,
I thought
I was
nice
right,
guy,
man.
He was cool. He's a nice dude.
He is a nice dude, yeah.
He is cool. So when are you coming, the 21st or the 27th of May, you said?
Yeah, it's going to be the 21st or 27th. It's going to be our first big show back at Peabody's Cleveland downtown, yeah.
Any supporting acts with you there, Bradley?
Right now it's, what the hell is the name of the band? Befallen might be on the bill. Shock Frenzy is on the bill for sure. Another band called Dizzy Horror out of Canton area might be on the bill.
Dizzy Horror, you said?
Yeah, Dizzy Horror, yeah.
Yeah, weren't they on that Kiss thing where you could vote for opening up for Kiss? Wasn't that one of the bands?
I think they might have been, yeah.
Yeah.
But, yeah, there's several acts right now that are wanting to be on the show. So we're going to see who makes it, whatever. We'll get cut down to probably five other bands, about us and like four other support acts or whatever, unless we do, they got the Pirates Co., which joins up with Peabody's. We decide to open that up too, then there might be a couple more bands on the bill. But we'll see. Right now it's looking like it's going to be us and like four support acts. So
any new material that's not on the Eight Lives Gone CD?
It's going to be predominantly Eight Lives Gone, and you're going to hear a couple cover tunes that we do. Breakout. All right,
which ones?
And stuff like that. I'm not going to talk about that now, man. You have to wait till
the show. That's a little rude.
Surprise, surprise, man. Charlie Sheen doesn't even put it all out there. I got to save something for
Charlie Spleen does.
Yeah, Charlie Spleen does.
All right, well, hey, you guys, rock out with your cocks out. And seriously, everybody go buy their CD because it's really good. And definitely see them live. And, hey, you guys, keep rocking.
Cool, man.
Thanks, man.
Rock on, brother.
Winning.
All right, man. Winning. Yeah.
Winning. Right. That's awesome.
Thanks, Charlie.
Well, guys,
all right.
Just another question or two. I guess you guys are record label at NA Records. Where can guys get you? Guys and gals, listeners.
Good. Yeah, because I always forget about this. The best place to get it is just order directly from our records website at www.fnarecords.net. FNARecords.net, just go to that, you'll find the Priscilla tab somewhere on there or whatever. And I think you can listen to most of the album, I think, right online. I think they got the tunes right up there on the website, whatever, so you can check it out before you buy it if you want to, whatever. But that's probably the best place to get it is directly is right there, unless you get it from some indie underground record or CD store or whatever, that kind of thing. But the website's probably be the easiest, quickest way to do that. And you can check out our material online, too. There's websites all over, just go online, pump in Priscilla Eight Lives Gone or Priscilla High Fashion, and, in a Google search engine, you come up with all kinds of stuff. Or you go directly to YouTube if you want to check out a bunch of videos, and we got shit. There's more and more videos every couple of days. It seems like people like just homemade fan videos and stuff. But there's a lot of, you know, professional made stuff on there too. Just pump in. Same thing. Just put in Priscilla High tonight. Priscilla High Fashion. Priscilla Eight Lives Gone. You know, anything like that. Any song titles, and they'll come up. And like a lot of them join up with each other. The videos interconnect with each other on the right side of the page or whatever. So when you find one, you could kind of like go to the others, whatever. If you want to do that, if you want to check out more than one tune or whatever. But yeah, check it out, man. See what you think. But that's that. That's that for my promo. My commerciality, my commercialism, you know.
But you guys know, as far as your live venues, man.
What's that?
As far as your live venues, where are you guys going to be next?
Next show, that's what we were just talking about. We're not going to start playing out till May, and that'll be our first show. Big show back is going to be that the date that I'm going to pump. I mean, we're going to do some shows on the road with a band called Psychotica and stuff like that. We got a bunch of stuff coming up. Everywhere from Tennessee to Cincinnati, Columbus, stuff like that, through our record company, stuff like that. We're going to see what goes on with that over the summer. But we'll be playing a lot of summer dates. But the first big show back is going to be at a venue called Peabody's in Cleveland. Peabody's been around forever. It's like the premier original rock club in Cleveland now. And that's going to be either May 21st or May 27th. I have to confirm with the owner the exact date, but it's going to be either one of those dates. And I'm going to know for sure on Thursday. So next time we're back on one of these shows, I'll have the exact date for it, but I'm going to pump the hell out of that show because it's going to be a big show. So that'll be the next thing that we do live. So we're just gearing it up now, practicing, things like that, and that's what we'll be doing.
Well, I want you to know tonight, man, when I'm in bed with my wife, I'm going to have her say your name over and over again while I throw my lip down.
Wow. you're gonna have your wife say my name over and over again?
I think it'd be hot, man. I'll hold your picture and look at it so you say your name just like you're acting the room.
Just to be clear, are you gonna be thinking about me or is she gonna be thinking about me?
Both.
Holy shit.
Man,
I like that attitude, bro. That is fucking awesome. It really is. That sounds
hello.
Like the kind of shit I come up with.
Hello.
I love it, man.
You guys. Listen, Brad and Dave, I appreciate y'all coming on the show. I want to do it again. I have music tonight. I apologize to the listeners, but, man, you love horror flicks, man. You're awesome. I mean, you're my kind
Thank
of woman.
You,
you're beautiful. You love, you know, scary flicks. I mean, anytime you're in Texas, come on down. I'll see barbecue and beer. Keystone Ride, baby.
Fucking hey, bro. We should get married, man. We'll run away to where's gay marriage legal? Utah, is that about right? And we'll fucking tie the knot. Sounds like we're meant to be together. Keystone Light, horror films, and good music, man. Cool.
I love my wife for 15 years, but you know, she's only been in Texas, so we'll go up to Utah. It'll be all right. I really want you guys to come on again because I really didn't get to talk.
Oh, we absolutely will, bro. We absolutely will.
But it's
sure.
All good, man. We appreciate you guys for coming on. And to the guys out, to all the listeners out there, we appreciate you. And, man, check out this guy's Priscilla. You just, like I said, Google their name, Priscilla Official, their Facebook page. You see a cute guy on the left. I mean, these guys really, and I'm not gay, by the way.
Hey, neither am I, you know, but it all makes for a good laugh, man.
It's in prison, it's not your gay. It's just, what is it, Bobby said? It's not gay, it's just, what was it? Shit.
It's situational.
Yes,
it's situational. I like it, man. And it really is, you know, it's all, life is situational, man. Whatever fits the situation, you know, you make it work for you, I guess. That's what I've been doing for a while now. You know, but hey, man, that's fucking rock and roll. You know, that's
there you go.
Quick story, man. So I'll end this with a bang, literally, man. I'll get a little hardcore R-rated on you here, man. This is just
fine.
That's rock and roll. So you know, this is going back years back, man. I meet this chick that Nikki Sixx wanted to go out with. Okay, she was on the road with them for one of their tours. And he wanted a banger, basically. He was married to Brandy Brandt at the time, I believe, or Donna DeErico, one of his wives. But, you know, he wanted a banger, and she just wouldn't do it. She said, no, he's you know, I know what he's after, this and that. So first night, you know, I meet her. She's a stripper, and she's out in Florida. And I meet her. We hook up. We get together, and we're just chilling, hanging out with a bunch of friends, whatever, at a club, at a party, whatever. So then I was supposed to go out on a date with her. I blow her off. She's sitting there waiting. I was supposed to meet her at a club. My friends show up. I'm back at my room, whatever, you know, taking care of business. And my friend's like, oh, dude, he shined you, you know. It was really sad because she really was a sweet chick. So then our first night out, we actually end up going out on a date after that because I felt real bad. I apologized. I called her. I said, you know, I'm really sorry. I'm a piece of shit, whatever. So first night out, I take home my banger, you know. I said,
right.
Well, wait, let me get this straight. I go out with you one time, and you fuck me. Nikki Six is after you for months, and you wouldn't fuck him. I go, how do you explain that? And her quote, that's rock and roll. I loved it, man. You know, it was like I was cracking up. It's like, yeah, that about sums it all up, doesn't it, man? Fucking, you never know what you're going to get with rock and roll, man. And that's been the story of my fucking life. It's like, you know, if I had the choice, Brad Slitter or Nikki Six, I'd have fucked Nikki Six, you know? He's a much, much, much bigger rock star than I'll ever be, you know?
I want to have down here, we have the gay community backing us up. That's a good thing.
What's that?
I said, now we have the gay community backing us up. That's a good thing.
Oh, yeah, absolutely, man. I'm all for it, man. Whatever, you know? The gay community, the, you know, the straights, the bisexuals, hey, whatever, the omnisexuals.
Oh, I'm a very high conservative, and I used to be a male prostitute, by the way. I had to quit because it was a pain in the ass.
Right. I've heard that one before, man. Actually, I just heard that one recently. That is pretty funny, though.
Yeah. I am pretty funny. You guys rock, man. We do really do. I can't even talk to you. I only had eight. Shit. No, I'm just... We do appreciate you guys for coming on, man. We all, you guys are awesome, man. I mean, besides all the jokes and shit, man. Honestly, man, I'm a fan of yours now, man. I do think Bob always brings me this music, you know. And hey, listen to this, and most of it's been pretty good, man. But you guys really awesome.
That's awesome, bro.
Yeah.
It really is awesome.
Yeah.
Bob's a great dude, man. He's really pumping us, man. I love it. It's fucking great.
Hey, any chance? Any chance I get, I'm making sure your stuff's out there, man. Honestly, I love this band.
That's awesome, man.
Well, no pun intended, but I'll be pumping it now. I'll be pumping you guys now, so.
That's awesome.
So whatever we can do to promote you guys, man, because you know what? Good music, man. We need good music. There's a lot of good music out there, but a lot of the mainstream, I'm sorry, it's not the same. It's not what it was when I grew up. You know, it's something different, you know. But you guys rock, man, and we want to have you on again, of course. Five More Radio Network, Big Dog Radio, whatever we can do to help. I know Bob will do it. I'll do it. Whatever we can do, man. And we will have you on again. And for all the listeners out there, man, you got to check these guys out, Priscilla, man. They have two thumbs up and a half pinky. So they rock.
Cool. That half pinky counts for a lot.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. We're going to get off. We're going to get off for this. We appreciate you guys again.
Thanks a lot, man.
Thank you, man. Thank you so much.
No, we thank you guys. It was an honor and a pleasure and a blessing.
Cool.
I'll give you guys a call in a little bit.
All right.
Rock on, guys.
All right. Peace out. All
right, man. Peace out. Rock like fuck.
There you go.
Hey, man. To all the listeners out there, man, that was the guys from Priscilla, man. We had Dave Brooks and Brad Slitt. Cool as hell, man. Bob, them dudes are cool as shit. I got to say, man.
Yeah,
they're awesome. You told me that.
Yeah, they are. I love them.
You tell me how to have a good time, but I'm thinking, well, you say that all the time, you know, but you were right this time, man. Them guys are really, really cool. So we do appreciate you guys. And make sure to check out, you know, Carol's anal cream. You told me to make fun of my damn accent. I thought we were friends, man. You should make fun of his accent. That's bullshit.
All right, wrap up the show.
I don't feel like wrapping up. I feel like talking to you the rest of the night. No, listen, guys. So all listeners out there, we appreciate all the callers. We appreciate the listeners. Again, man, to all the guys and gals out there, have respect, have love, you know, for your military, man. For all the men and women out there in our law enforcement military,
Bob, I know I speak for the both of us. God bless you. Be
yes,
safe,
sir.
And to the fallen soldiers out there, you know, thank you. Thank you for your service. And I pray that all of you guys come back home safely. And we just, you know, if it wasn't for those men and women, Bob, we wouldn't be doing this, you know.
You're right.
So we do thank you all. Be sure to check out All Hell Hair and Fighting Words Radio, Tommy G Show. Just go to Facebook and check and just type in Fighting Words. You'll find it. And we appreciate you guys listening to the show. Until then, God bless, be safe, be good. You're listening to Big Dog Radio.